Hey there, true listeners. This is Kyle from the Longbox Cast, and you're listening to another great 4Ride Radio podcast. For more great shows, check out 4RideRadio.com. And while you're at it, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/longboxcast. Greetings, true listeners. Today we are rebooting the podcast at episode 52. Steve is no longer a part of the show. So welcome to the new 52, the Longboxcast edition. I'm just kidding. Steve is just off today. But with me are two special guests as we discuss why The Flash is so awesome. Before we get into all that, I just want to say that this past weekend was Memorial Day weekend. We talk about a lot of superheroes here on our show, but I'd like to take 10 seconds to remember those who have served and did not make it back instead of our regular theme song. All right, before I introduce our two special guests, I'm going to just brief through our regular stuff of our sponsors and whatnot. So, you can find us on www.longboxcast.com, part of the 4Ride Radio Network, the Fern. For more information, visit 4RideRadio.com. To listen to this show, you can find us on 4RideRadio.com, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Miro Guy, Double Twist, YouTube, Swell Radio, SoundCloud, and Player FM. This podcast is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustration and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit revengelover.com. We're also brought to you by Fantasy Escape Comics, Cards, and Collectibles. You can find them in the Virginia Beach area or find them online at fantasyescape.com. Also, check out their eBay account. Just look for the user ID 50Batman. And as you know, we are proud supporters of Comic Care Comics. If you have any used-up comic books you don't need anymore, they're just laying around, you don't know what to do with them, donate them to Comic Care Comics. They'll put them to good use and give them to kids who could really use a good read right about now. So like I said before, we have two special guests with us today. First up, we have co-host of the Ranger Command Power Hour, Zach, also known as the Cinema Slob.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. And our final guest is a returning guest, RJ, also known as Anime Redneck 96.
Yeehaw!
How y'all doing?
Alright, so, main reason why we're here is to discuss The Flash.
I am so excited to talk about The Flash. I've had it bottled up inside me for a week.
Oh, nice. Yep. So, I guess first thing we'll talk about is the season finale. And then we'll talk about the entire show as a whole and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, so who wants to talk about the season finale first?
I'll let RJ go. All
right. I guess the one thing the season finale kind of got me is they end on that cliffhanger. They don't end, you know, Arrow ended on that happy ending, which isn't going to last. But Flash just ends with Barry going up into a whirlpool. The giant black hole thing. What happens? I don't want to wait for fall to find out what the hell happens. Why?
I'm with you on that one, RJ. Cliffhangers are just like, I can't. I need it now. I need an answer. I need what we got on Arrow. I need that happy ending.
Well, apparently I've been reading a few articles, and they're saying that next season they're going to introduce Earth 1 and Earth 2 to the CW-verse.
They darn well better, because I'll tell you what, that tease of Jay Garrick's helmet coming through the time vortex, I was so excited. I remember just watching my screen and my jaw hitting the floor and being like,
Now, I'm right there with you. I was exactly the same way. I was like, wait, is that Jay Garrick's helmet? I went full William Shatner on the whole thing.
I just like how it hits the floor and Reverse Flash looks at it and just goes, well, that's my cue to leave. like he knows that like stuff's going down.
Well, main reason why I say they're bringing in Earth 1 and Earth 2 right now is the fact that the possibilities of him falling through that wormhole and ending up on another Earth where there's a different Flash is a very good possibility right now.
I love it. I love the whole multiverse. I love the idea that they're going to be adapting these more out there stories for TV.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you the possibilities are different, are endless, really. I mean, they could even do a crossover with Supergirl and be like, "Oh, hey, look, this is a different Earth."
Oh shoot.
Yeah, it's possible. And if Constantine was still around, they could do a crossover with Constantine, but that's not happening anymore.
Well, maybe CW will see the awesomeness of Constantine and pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do to Constantine what they did for Agent Carter, make it like a small episode during the winter breaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was kind of hoping Legends of Tomorrow was going to be a small little, was going to be like the little thing during like summer break or something, but gotta wait till 2016 for that.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not coming in the fall?
No, it's not coming in the fall.
It's coming in winter 2016, yeah. So it's going to be like in January, February, between the breaks.
Yep.
Damn it. I'm so sad now.
It'll make it this way. The first half of Arrow and the first half of The Flash can start leading up to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you still got to revive Black Canary or White Canary or whatever she is.
Reverse Flash mentioned, what was his face, Rip Hunter in the finale, too.
Yep.
And I'm so happy that it's Arthur Darvill in the role, because I love Doctor Who. I loved him on Doctor Who. So getting to see him in that 6 minute or whatever teaser trailer, or not 6 minutes, the Supergirl trailer was 6 minutes, but the trailer where he's like, Rip Hunter, I'm from East London. Oh, and the future. Like, he's just like so condescending. I love it.
Yeah, see, when I first heard that he was casted as it, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this, but after seeing the trailer, I'm like, yeah, that's Rip Hunter for you.
Yeah, it was great. That trailer was so good. I think I've watched it like 4 times now.
I'm just hoping they eventually bring in like Booster Gold or Blue Beetle or someone into the whole thing, since they got Rip Hunter now.
I would love that so much. I'm such a fan of Booster Gold. It would be great.
If Smallville could do Booster Gold, I'm pretty sure The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow could do Booster Gold.
Agreed. So, what I want to ask you guys, what do you think your WTF moment of the finale was for you?
Oh,
I've got mine.
All right, you go ahead, because I got to think about this.
aside from the cliffhanger, but I think that was for everybody, mine was when Eddie shot himself to get rid of Reverse Flash.
That is exactly what I was going to also say. I just remember, like, so okay, Reverse Flash has got Flash in the choke, and, like, it's all over, and all of a sudden you just hear the gunshot, and you're like, did somebody shoot Reverse Flash? What happened? And then cuts over to Eddie, and I'm just like, what? 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 No! What? No! No!
Yeah,
no!
That was, yeah.
Like, and it's so funny, because, you know, Eddie, the whole season, has been a really likable character.
He has.
And they could have gone a total different way with it. They could have made him an unlikable asshole. Sorry, I don't know if you bleep your show or not.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Too much editing.
Okay, fair enough. But you know, they could have made him go that route, but they decided to make him likable and make him relatable. Here's this guy who fell in love with this girl, but, you know, finds out his destiny doesn't go that way, and he's like, you know what? I make my own destiny. And just... And you're just like, no! No! But, I mean, of course, because his body got sucked up into the time vortex, there's still a possibility that he'll come back, and he may not really be dead, and so, I mean, that's the whole thing with Flash and with... With the time vortexes, you know, status quo means nothing, because it can change in a heartbeat.
It's true. I mean, there's a huge paradox going on right now, because since Eddie shot himself and the Reverse Flash never existed, technically Harrison Wells should be alive, and technically Barry's mom should be alive too, so it should be interesting to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But my big WTF moment was actually when Barry went back in time to save his mother, and then his future self told him no.
That's another really cool one. Yeah.
Oh. You just see, like, you know, him, he looks over, he sees himself, and he just holds up his hands, just like, just don't do it. So, which means Barry's mom was supposed to die no matter what.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying, you know, oh, when he's going to save her, it's going to be Flashpoint, Flashpoint, Flashpoint. But I think that this season, so the season we've seen, this was already, like, a different timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I should say Eobard Thawn goes back in time and changes everything. That creates a separate timeline. What if this wormhole that Barry goes through is going to be a wormhole into the proper timeline where it's Harrison Wells is alive and the real Harrison Wells, and like it's really interesting. I'm really looking, like, I can't wait. I want to be put in cryogenic sleep until October or whatever. Like, please just give me my show.
Well, the actor who plays Harrison Wells will be returning next season, so we at least get to look forward to that. So be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, when you said, you know, everyone was expecting it to be Flashpoint, I was expecting it too. I was like, okay, it's definitely going to be Flashpoint next season. It's just all point to it. I'm like, the Arrow's going to be the Batman of the Flashpoint story, and it's not going to be Oliver, it's going to be his father playing the role, and that's what I was expecting.
Mm.
Although, just a quick mention of Arrow, if this was an alternate timeline, does that mean if we go to another Flash plotline, I can totally ignore all this? Like, the League of Assassins storyline was okay, but it drug on those last few episodes. Can I just, like, ignore that?
Well, you can just do what Steve does and just not watch it and say you'll watch it over the summer, but he probably still won't.
Yeah, but Arrow still gets me every week, so I have to watch it.
I understand.
I can't not watch it and then just quit and miss a few episodes. I have to watch it episode by episode.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you, man. I can't miss an episode.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I need to watch it, like, or otherwise I'll go on Twitter or I'll go on Reddit or something and I'll see something somebody says and then up, it's ruined now.
Yeah, Twitter exists just to spoil stuff.
Oh, yeah, if I miss an episode, I'm like, nope, okay, I'm staying off of everything until the next day and I can watch on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see here. Alright, I want to ask you guys, this is going to be more for just everything now. Favorite villain from the series?
I'd probably just say Captain Cold. Because he was kind of a villain, but he still kind of had his moments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of how to word that.
He was a smartass, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's why I liked him. He was a smartass.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, Captain Cold is such a fantastic... He's probably my favorite rogue, honestly. A while back, I was at a friend's house staying overnight, and he's like, have you read this? And it was, like, the Captain Cold, like, graphic novel, where it's, like, it goes more into his history and all that. And I read it, and I loved it, and that's when I kind of fell in love with the character. And so seeing Captain Cold on screen being snarky and being just a dick to the Flash is great. I love seeing it. And I love that they included his sister, and that they, you know, had this whole family dynamic with them. However, having said all that, I love Grodd. The fact that we got Grodd on TV is something I never thought I'd live to see.
And he didn't look cheesy or anything. And
he looked terrifying. Like, I did not want to be Joe when he's down there with him. Like, he's scary. Yeah. It's funny, though, because, you know, a while back we interviewed, I'm blanking on his name, so sorry, David Fielding. We interviewed David Fielding, and he, you know, we got to talking about comics, and I, you know, I said to him, how great is it that in this day and age we live in a world where comic book television is a thing, and we're getting gorillas that have psychic powers, and like, and he, you know, we both were in agreement, this is a fantastic time to be a comic book fan.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
With movies, TV shows, Netflix series. I mean, it's all out there now.
But Cold was the, you know, kind of my favorite overall season villain, but I just remembered my favorite villain of the week type villain was when Mark Hamill came as Trickster.
Yeah, that was such a good one.
Just that whole episode was awesome.
It was. Mark Hamill just, like, knocked out of the park. It was like watching the Joker in live action almost.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I dissed the Joker and whatnot, Mark Hamill, oh, that was such a good episode. I ended up watching that episode, like, 2 times because I missed, like, the first half, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to watch the second half anyways. I'll watch the first half on Hulu, and I ended up watching, like, the whole episode again on Hulu just because it was so good.
Yeah, I just the way he played that character was so spot on, and like the bit with the other trickster where he's like, "I'm your father," of course, is the cheap pop for the Star Wars reference for me.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a fantastic portrayal, and I'm so glad that they got him to come back.
Oh yeah. Now when he said that line, "I'm your father," I was half expecting him to say, "No, not really," but I've always wanted to say that.
Yeah. I think that was a pretty common theme that people were thinking, oh, well, he's the trickster. He's tricking him.
Yeah. But my favorite villain, I've given this a lot of thought, and just it's probably going to be Captain Cold, Heatwave, just a tie between those two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Captain Cold, I mean, the dude studied his gun from, like, inch to inch just because he was like, in case this thing ever breaks down or something, or ever needs Cisco to repair it, I know exactly how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
He's cunning, he's smart, he knows the Flash's identity, and yet he has not revealed it to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he knows he can blackmail Barry for it later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But favorite villain of the week was probably Girder.
Yeah, Girder was a good one.
Just because, like, they brought him back the next episode and then killed him off, but he kind of, like, died a hero. I'm kind of just like, okay. I mean, at least, you know, the guy dies a hero.
Mm-hmm. I love that in the episode with Girder, they introduced the Mach Punch.
Yes.
Like, every episode where Barry got a new power, I felt was a really great episode. Learning to vibrate through the truck in the Trickster episode. Learning how to do the fire, putting out the fire trick, doing vacuum arms. All that stuff. I love it.
And then, of course, the ultimate power of time traveling.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's nuts.
Now, that was actually one thing, like, when they were talking about how to, like, not open up a wormhole, and Barry's talking to Joe. He's like, I don't know if I should do this anymore. And I'm like, guys, you're sitting on the frickin' cosmic treadmill. Jump on that thing. There's your time travel device.
I cannot wait for them to turn that into the cosmic treadmill. It's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many, like, hidden little Easter eggs throughout every episode that just make the show... When I first saw the cosmic treadmill, I'm like, oh, okay, we're getting that right away. Sweet.
Everything that they're introducing into the show is just... It's like you said, it's one Easter egg after another, but, like, they pay off, and it's going to be fantastic when they pay off.
Oh, yeah, like, the very first episode, we see Gorilla Grodd's cage, and... When they first were doing the show, the creators were like, yeah, we're not going to do Gorilla Grodd. Basically, that little Easter egg's all there is. Although, apparently that never panned out, so I'm quite happy about that. Alright, so, moving away from villains, favorite character?
Ooh. You know, I think for me it's got to be Cisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cisco. That is the kind of friend you would want. He's goofy, but he's still very serious about his work, and he's dedicated and loyal, and like, I love Cisco. Cisco probably my favorite character.
And then, of course, come to find out, he's a metahuman.
I cannot wait. That is going to be fantastic for him to become Vibe next season, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Well, now, I'm sure you guys saw, like, the last little minute after the show ended and you see the creators are talking about the show and whatnot, how they said that they have a new way of introducing villains.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard, they're going to introduce them through the wormhole. Basically, it's going to open up to other worlds and villains are going to start pouring in. And I guess it's up to Sisko, who can sense the vibrations between different universes and tell who should be there and who shouldn't be there.
Right. And again, it's an interesting way to do Vibe's powers without relying on his comic book origin. Because in the comic books, he got his powers from being struck by the event horizon of a boom tube, correct?
I believe so. It's been a while since I've read.
Okay. So, yeah. Like, the fact that they were just like, oh, well, this will just be an after effect of being in the particle accelerator and then experiencing a different timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it's different, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I believe they said one of the villains that they are bringing into next season is, finally, Mirror Master.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be awesome. Again, Mirror Master is just one of those classic rogues that it's going to be fun to see.
I was surprised they didn't do him this season. I was like, you got all the classics, and then I'm just like, okay, the only one you guys are missing is Mirror Master. So, hopefully they'll do him right, because if he's not a cocaine addict, then he's not Mirror Master. Alright, but yeah, Sisko, I think it's probably like a unanimous agreement that he's probably like the favorite character throughout the entire series.
Yeah, Sisko's the best.
Sisko's basically us, if you look at it. He's the fan.
He is the fanboy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he comes up with all the goofy names, he makes all the movie references,
mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, go ahead.
I actually lost what I was going to say, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't make me lose it. I lost it before you said anything.
I was just going to say, I love the So Long and Thanks for All the Fish reference.
Mm-hmm, that was a good one.
And then, you know, May the Speed Force Be With You, and just, it's just so many references in that final episode.
I love how in the episode with time travel, Sisko was trying to explain the technobabble to Joe by using, like, oh, this is like Terminator, or it's like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yes, or like when they were talking about trying to stop Heatwave and Captain Cole, he's like, you gotta make him cross dreams, and they're like, oh, like Ghostbusters. He goes, and then him and Harrison Wells are like, great movie.
That
not entirely accurate or something to affect.
Yeah, not entirely scientifically inaccurate or something like that. And I'm with you on that one. I am a huge Ghostbusters is my favorite movie of all time ever. Mm-hmm. I dress as a Ghostbuster. I have the props.
Nice.
All that stuff. And so whenever a Ghostbusters reference pops up in something else that I love, I just love that thing even more. So like with like you said, when Sisko and Wells are talking about Ghostbusters, I'm just like, you're all right in my book, Flash. And how about all those references to Ferris Air and Coast City?
Oh, and then that big, huge Green Lantern cameo Easter egg thing where they're talking about how, like, why did the whole place crash down? And they're like, oh, well, pilot disappeared.
Test pilots went missing. Like, they would be foolish not to have Green Lantern at some point.
I mean, technically right now out there during the CW-verse, Hal Jordan is out in space training to be a Green Lantern right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, in the beginning of the season, Ferris Air was operational, from what I've read. Mm-hmm. So,
because they were working out of an abandoned airfield in Central City that was Ferris Air.
True.
I think it was just abandoned in Central City.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was. They were all abandoned. I think just that one was.
True, because in Arrow, they were flying Ferris Air to... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And plus, at the end of Arrow, in the flashbacks, Oliver was getting on a boat to Coast City.
Yes, true. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were to, like, start bringing in Green Lantern that way. And then, you know, everyone's fan favorite theory, John Diggle becomes John Stewart.
That'd be sweet.
There's a lot of theory for that. There's also a lot of theory for him becoming the Guardian.
Yes, I've seen that too.
Which that would be also just as good in my opinion. Like Diggle deserves a lot of credit. Like I love Diggle on Arrow. So.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he does become the Guardian, and they're just like, so why'd you start calling yourself the Guardian? He goes, oh, because I wanted to guard the city.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes sense. He was a bodyguard, like.
Yeah.
So, the thing I wanted to mention, since we're on the topic of Diggle, is his reaction to the Flash during the crossover episodes. He's just like, is nobody else freaked out by this? Like, what?
Yes, that. And, like, I'll be honest, the first time that they, when Felicity came over to the Flash, like, what was it, like, every other line out of her was, while I work for the Arrow, mm-hmm. she just kept
yeah.
Arrow. I'm like, okay, you need to stop that. But, I mean, but just the whole, and the whole big belly burger thing at the season finale when they give it to Harrison Wells, he's like, oh, we don't have cows in the future anymore, and
mm-hmm.
just all these, you know, just continuity references, you know, throughout the whole thing. Cause, you know, Big Belly Burger keeps showing up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saban Brands needs to pay attention to this shit.
For those who don't know what we're talking about Power Rangers and how the continuity sucks.
What continuity?
Exactly.
I'm going to try my best not to incriminate myself as being the co-host of a Power Rangers podcast that literally, like, yesterday and today were followed by two members of Saban Brand's marketing team.
No.
So hey. I'm not going to say anything that would possibly jeopardize anything.
Well, hey, I'm not a special gonna... guest here. Eric Berry!
Flash! Oh, he's Eric, the savior of the universe!
Eric made it!
Yeah, yeah. Apparently there's two Erics.
Yep.
There is two Erics.
It's always better when there's more of me.
Alright, for those who don't know who Eric is, and I don't know why you wouldn't, because he's been on the show before, he is actually the reason why I am on this show as the co-host. He is... would you say founder of Ranger Command Power Hour?
I would say that.
Okay, he is the founder of Power Ranger Power...
Of course you I'm would. Mister. No, I'm kidding. the show is all Eric's brainchild.
The owner, like, the proprietor, the CEO.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He posted on Twitter, he's like, I want to do a podcast about Power Rangers, and I said, gee, I'll follow you, Mr. Barry. No problem. And I turned into a 1930s newsie for some reason.
Alright, so we time Flash, what's going on?
We're talking right. Flash.
Where are we at? What have I missed?
Everything, we're just,
but it's okay.
We're just talking about everything and everything, so if you... We were talking about the season finale of how great it was.
Holy balls, was that a good finale.
How about that Jay Garrick helmet flying through the time vortex? Was that something or what?
Now what kind of implications does that lead to? Because that's a Silver Age Flash, right?
That's Golden Age Flash.
Or Golden Age.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm just curious how them throwing that Easter egg at us, how does that play into the overall continuity of the show?
Well, we were talking about this a little bit ago. We were saying that it was announced that they are doing Earth 1 and Earth 2 of the DC Universe, so we'll probably get to see like some form of like the Justice Society.
Yeah.
Now, is this going to tie into Legends of Tomorrow as well?
I would not be surprised if it did.
Now, the whole Earth 1, Earth 2 stuff,
mm-hmm.
how is this going to affect the bigger Flareoverse going on?
Well, I mean, Earth 2 has all your Golden Age heroes, which is interesting, considering they've had Wildcat on Arrow already. And he is one of the, you know, JSA. Like, it's mm-hmm. going to be kind of tricky, but I think it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. I really can't wait. Like, it needs to be fall right now. Can we just jump 3 months in the future, please? Can we?
Yes.
Can I open up that time vortex and jump through? Because I got a thing.
Now, is this time vortex stuff, now that it's possible at Star Labs, do you think that's how they're going to be able to tie that into Legends of Tomorrow, where they seemingly go back and forward through time? Or is that all because of Rick Hunter?
I think it's probably through Rip Hunter.
Rip Hunter, I don't know.
Nah, you're fine.
Rick Hunter is Macross. Or Robo Duck. Whatever. Yeah. Eric, crossing the nerd streams.
Eric, what was your favorite villain of the season?
Oh, God. You know, as cheesy as he was acted, I really liked, what's his face? Dr. Cold?
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold, whatever. no, I really liked Captain Cold. I liked the actor. I liked how he was kind of hamming it up.
It was a real subtle ham, too. It's just, it's yeah. Perfect.
And I really liked how he played off Barry Allen, especially when he found out that Barry Allen was the Flash. And then he betrayed him in that that penultimate episode of mm-hmm. Flash. So, yeah.
You know, when we were talking about villains and we were all talking about we love Grodd, we love Captain Cold, we love the Trickster, it dawned on me we really haven't given credit where credit is due. How about frickin' Tom as Harrison Wells / Reverse Flash?
Yeah.
He yeah. knocked it out of the park.
He did.
Yeah.
He's such a fantastic actor, and I think I read something with one of the producers where now that they also showed the real Eobard's face as he was kind of disintegrating in the time vortex to Barry and all that mm-hmm. stuff, now essentially you have two actors that can play the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that will affect the future if, you know, he comes back somehow.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is there was talk of this time vortex now that Barry went through is going to lead to a different timeline or alternate Earth or what have you, where Harrison Wells is alive and well and played by Tom Cavanaugh and, like...
And the good one.
And the good one, not the yeah, right. evil one, which will be interesting, because, I mean, he was playing evil, playing good the whole season.
Right.
And, like, with the exception of the scenes where he was actually Harrison Wells, like, you know, in the car crash, but I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him.
I don't know. Eobard was very complex because since he lived that, you know, whatever, 18 years,
mm-hmm.
Or 15 years or whatever, I mean, he actually developed relationships. He really thought of Sisko as his son. It's just mm-hmm. that, you know, now his son's in his way, so I'm going to destroy everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could tell, and that's, you know, major props to the actor, but you could tell that he really did care for Sisko on, like, a father-son type of relationship level. And I thought that was very powerful. It wasn't that Eobard wasn't just a one-dimensional villain. He had some very complex layers to him.
Yeah, and there was I forget where I saw it. I think it might have been on the Flash subreddit, but there was an interview with one of the producers that said, you know, a lot of scenes were deleted or cut for time that we'll be able to see in the DVD and the Blu-ray sets, where, like, in the finale, there's a scene of Harrison or Reverse Flash saying, you know, when I took over Harrison Wells' life, the device that allowed me to do that also absorbed some of his memories. Do you have any idea what it's like to mourn for a woman you never loved or never knew?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, like, that adds a whole heaping depth to his character that I love, and I love that. I'm sad that scene got cut. That would have been a fantastic scene in the finale.
Yeah, I think that would have definitely given him a little bit more sympathy
mm-hmm.
to viewers, but yeah, I mean, things get cut all the time, though.
Oh, yeah. I heard one of the scenes that got cut was actually Firestorm turning one element into another.
Yeah, there was also the they were going to display his transmutation power, which mm-hmm. I think would have been great too. It would have been fun for the fans that know of Firestorm's abilities.
Oh yeah, especially during the scene when they were trying to build the time machine, and he's like, "We can't use this type of material; it's gonna just burn up."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of just like, "Hey, you have the ability to transmutate stuff. Why aren't you doing that?" But Jordan had pointed out to me that it was apparently a deleted scene.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the DVD and Blu-ray set to come out, because I'm fascinated by what was cut. Like, I want to see more of the world building.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I'm definitely picking up, because I love all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I'm a sucker for that stuff, too. Give me episode commentaries. Give me cast commentaries, please. I want to hear them talking about, like, you know, their characters and the scenes that they did and how it was, like, on the set. I just love all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, we also asked favorite character of the show.
We all have hands down, it's Cisco.
Yep.
Everybody said Cisco. Yep.
No, he's one of us. He's the nerd that's been thrown into this situation.
He's the one making the movie references, making the quotes.
Yeah. He's got all the cool T-shirts. He's, you know, naming the villains, and I don't know. He's super funny. I'm always really drawn to the kind of the comedic characters of these types of shows, the lighthearted ones to break up all the seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Cisco all the way, and he got some really good focus episodes this season too, which I was very proud of.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, okay, this one's gonna be a little tricky. I'm gonna ask you guys anyways. Funniest moment from the series.
Ooh, God.
Now, I'll let you guys think about it. I'm going to just say mine because I've had time to think about these questions. My funniest moment to me was probably back in the early of the season when Barry and Caitlin went to go karaoke and Caitlin got super drunk.
I was just going to say that's the moment too. That stands out in my mind, too, is drunk Caitlin and yes. Barry. And she's, you know, like, don't you sneak a peek. But it's okay if you do because you're a hero. You deserve to sneak a peek. And he's like, Caitlin, you're drunk. Get dressed.
Yes. Just the whole, oh, you saved me from that evil dress.
Mm-hmm. That was a pretty funny scene. I like that one.
I really like some of the stuff in the comedic stuff in the pilot when he was first dealing with his powers. I think whenever a superhero is struggling with their powers at first, it can be funny sometimes. And I think there were some, if I remember, there were some light moments in the pilot when he was testing out his speed.
I think another really funny moment is the nod to the comics is the fact that Grodd hates bananas.
Yes.
When Joe is like, here, you want this? And he smacks it out of his hand, Grodd hate banana. And you're just like, oh, God, he's going to kill him.
Yeah, that was still kind of scary, too. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call that a...
It was scary and funny, but I've already harped on how much I love Gorilla Grodd, so it's...
Yeah, that was a fantastic character. I hope we get to see more of him next season.
We had damn well better because the way they cut that episode with him climbing to the top of that skyscraper, come on.
Oh, some other funny moments. I liked when Oliver Queen was on The Flash in like that first team-up, and there were some very funny lines back and forth about both of them and their different styles of handling things. Mm-hmm. And there was some tension there, but there was also some really funny moments when they got together.
Yeah.
There's a really funny picture going around where it's a clip from that episode where Ollie is talking to Barry and he says, you know, guys like us don't get the girl, and then it cuts to the season finale of Arrow, where he's in the Porsche with Felicity, all happy and smiling, and then it cuts to another picture of Barry looking at him like, are you serious?
Like, dude, come on.
All right, so I need to ask this. Does anyone else think that Felicity is going to end up with every single superhero in the show?
Is that her superpower? Like, what?
I don't know. Hawkgirl's going to be coming in soon. I'm afraid what's going to happen there.
I think a better question is, can Oliver Queen be introduced to a female character without sleeping with them?
Well, technically speaking, he hasn't slept with Nyssa.
Well, yeah, not yet. But
that's only because Nyssa doesn't swing that way.
Well, yeah, he was married to her.
He was married to her for all of 5 minutes.
And more funny moments was actually on the Arrow when they did the crossover there, and, you know, they're all like, you know, the Arrow Cave, and You know, he's like, I'm not calling it the Arrow Cave, and it's like, you know, wait, well, why the hell are so many people coming into Arrow Cave? And he's like, see what happens?
I forgot about that one. That was pretty good.
Like I said, any time people having Flash is fantastic, too.
Yeah, anytime they cross over. I liked an all-star team-up when Ray Palmer showed up, and he just kind of crashed, landed, and he's like, oh, hey, guys. You know,
I'm so happy Brandon Routh got a second shot at being a superhero, because
no kidding.
He is fantastic. I love that man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and when I made the Superman reference at the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm. It's a bird. No, it's perfect. A plane. My boyfriend.
I'm a little upset, though, with the Legends of Tomorrow trailer that they show him shrinking before we even see him shrink on the TV series.
Yeah, that is kind of spoiler-tastic, ain't it?
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one, Eric. I wish they hadn't. I'm still excited for it, though.
I'm
giddy like a schoolgirl, like, oh, shrink!
I was like that, too. Yeah. RJ, you're a little quiet over there. You got any favorite funny moments?
I can't really think of any funny moments. The dress thing, really anytime Cisco talks or he makes a reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cisco did bring a lot of comedy and a lot of heart to the show, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say it was kind of on Arrow, but Barry was there in the Arrow finale when Diggle's like, I still can't believe this shit. When Barry's speeding away, that's just still funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and when he's all like, oh, wait, you guys have a hot tub in here?
Oh, yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Classic Flash.
Okay, I think now is time for the bomb question.
Okay.
Favorite episode of the season?
Are you going to have to pull up a Flash wiki?
I'm looking at the sidebar on the Flash subreddit right now, looking at all the episode titles.
I was just going to say, because that was actually my next question. I actually haven't thought about this, so if anyone else feels free to go.
There's quite a few, actually.
I think for me it has to be the season finale. There was just so much... The emotion in the scene with Flash and his mom, the emotion with the scene of Flash and his dad, just the sheer WTF-ery of the whole thing, like, with the time portal, with Reverse Flash, with Eddie doing the thing that Eddie did. Holy cow! Mm-hmm. Eddie, why? No. Like, there was so much going on in that episode, and I was worried, because, like, the end of Rogue Air seemed like a finale, and I was like, well, where are they going to go from here? And every time I ask that question, this show, like, takes my question and blows it to smithereens.
I think one of my favorite episodes besides the finale, because I think we can all agree the finale was an amazing piece of television that really left you on the edge of your seat. But I thought the episode Out of Time, episode 15, where all this stuff is happening, like the tsunami is happening, and Barry has to go back, and all of a sudden he creates a time warp and he's back, and like he revealed himself to Iris, and there was so much like reveals there, like,
and
then that was the
died, and
yeah, that was the first time that you know, Wells revealed himself as Eobard Thawne, and that episode set up the whole final arc to this show.
Yeah.
But it felt like its own season finale. It's like, oh shit, if this ended right now, oh my god. So that really set the bar high as well.
For me, favorite episode was actually the Firestorm introduction episode.
Fallout?
It would be 13, the Nuclear Man.
Yeah, just the whole,
just
the introduction to him, and just him and the professor struggling to share one body, and just them arguing over it, and then come to find out, Harrison Wells sacrifices some of his time for Firestorm to live, which we still have no idea why.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
He did help.
Yeah, that's right, because Dr. Wells made the tachyon device thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or the quantum splicer thing.
Yeah, and then Gideon said, if this is going to set you back a couple of... Or I don't remember the exact amount of time.
Right.
I didn't know. It's going to set you back a little bit.
Wow.
Maybe he needs Firestorm for something.
Maybe.
Well, we just answered our own question with that deleted scene.
True.
Because if he was trying to build the time machine and he needed an element that didn't exist, boom, that's why you need Firestorm.
That's true. There you go.
It's all to serve his own purpose.
Yeah, they deleted it. Good.
Damn.
Wow.
Huh.
Damn. Oh my god.
My head just became Firestorm. Like, my brain is
And speaking of which, I mean, just the effects of Firestorm were amazing.
This show has really pushed the boundary on, like, CGI and effects on
television. For television. Yeah, for a weekly episodic television show, this show has some of the best effects. It really does.
Yeah. I'd probably just say my favorite episode was the 19, where Eddie gets... The shapeshifter dude shows up, and Eddie gets mistaken as the killer or whatever.
Yeah, that was a really good one, too.
Oh, yeah. Fun. And I like that there was kind of a little Arrow crossover there with Captain Lance showing up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a good one.
Lance and Joe teaming up was awesome.
Cop Dad team up. Yeah, they
people are crying out for that. I changed my mind on the... It's Joe. Joe was awesome.
Joe is probably my second favorite character. Yeah. I love Cisco too much to downgrade Cisco, but Joe was so fantastic. And the actor, whose name I'm blanking on, which kills me, I apologize, just nails it. Just absolutely nailed it.
I thought it was also great that they got the original TV Flash to play Barry's dad.
That was great.
Bit of casting.
Yeah.
And how great was, you know, Mark Hamill coming back as the trickster? That was great.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about that earlier, but I mean, yeah, his whole portrayal of the trickster is just so clever.
It's almost like a real life Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We touched on that also. Like, was that
I'm
you?
I'm sorry.
Uchi? Or, no, that's fine, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're right. It's like a real Joker, almost.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the CW-verse, we have Mark Hamill to play the Joker, and we have Stephen Amell to play Batman.
Yep. Pretty much.
Oh, Jesse L. Martin plays Joe.
Jesse Martin. I couldn't think of his name. I was like, what the hell's that guy's name? But yeah, he was fantastic. Every scene with him was just like, you know, and like, the scene where he accepts Barry... like, as the Flash, where he's finally just like, you know what, I can't stop you, so just be as safe as you can, like that was a real, and like, in the finale, when he says, you know, goodbye, son, oh
man, there were some feels right there.
In the feels.
Yep.
I wish we saw more of him and Barry in their roommate phase. I wish we saw more of that.
Yeah.
Like, living the single life. That was another funny one, when Barry moved back in and they're kind of like single bros, and I thought that was pretty funny too. We didn't get to see enough of that.
I really like during, speaking of funny Joe Barry moments, when during the Christmas episode, Barry uses a super speed and has the tree done, and Joe goes, Barry, no, we're going to do it the right way. And he goes, fine, and he super speeds everything back into the box.
For a Christmas episode, that was a really good episode.
Like, I don't think there was a single episode this season where I just went, meh. Like, every single episode was good or great. Like, there's no just like, meh, it was okay. No, there was just fantastic all around.
Now I'm trying to think if there is a meh episode.
I honestly can't remember any because I keep saying, like, I'm going to rewatch all these episodes again, and I'm not going to get bored with a single one just because it's so damn good.
If I had to pick a meh episode, but even then it's not meh, is the pilot, just because it's a pilot. Like, and mind you, the pilot had leaked before the season started, so I had seen the leak, and I thought, at the time when it leaked, I thought, man, this show is great, I can't wait to see the start. And then the pilot aired on TV, and I was like, yeah, I've seen this, this is good. So that's my only feeling of why it's meh. But even then, it's not really. It's a fantastic pilot.
Yeah. I forgot that actually leaked.
Speaking of leaked pilots, y'all see that Supergirl pilot?
I did.
Hell yeah, I did.
See,
fucking awesome.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm not sure if I want to see it or not yet.
Yeah, you do.
It's amazing.
It's good. Like, I was excited for it for, like, seeing the trailer, but actually seeing her in action in the show...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, come on, I've had bad Mamma Jamma stuck in my head for like a day and a half now. She's a bad Mamma Jamma.
I rewatched it, and I never rewatch anything unless it's really good.
All right. So probably it's after really this, good. I'm probably going to go watch Supergirl.
But on the May episode thing, I'd say the only time I've kind of thought the show was, you know, had that meh feeling was the first episode. Felicity showed up, and she just kept referencing Arrow every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Kind of like, we get it.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, we had that awesome train rescue scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again...
That was pretty sweet.
...speaks back to Eric's point about how the effects on the show are just insane for a weekly televised program. Like, that's the stuff you'd see in a movie, not, you know, weeknights at 8, you know?
Yeah.
Now, well, do you think there are any weak characters, villains or allies?
Caitlin. Iris?
I'd have to say Iris over Caitlin, for Iris. Sure. Iris is weak.
Yeah.
Only right now, she's a love interest to be fought over. Like, I want to see her develop more in the second season to see, you know, her being more of a scrappy reporter and being, you know...
She's not even that good of a reporter. Like, the third to last episode, she was like, I think all these metahumans showed up during the particle accelerator. I'm like, welcome to episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where have you been, Iris?
See, but every episode, she literally goes back and forth between Barry and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
That
decision won't be much of a problem these days. Too soon? Sorry. But, I mean, it's nothing against Candace Patton, who is a fantastic actress. It's just that there's no character there yet, really. I mean, they spent this whole season having her be in this will-she-won't-she Ross and Rachel kind of BS, and I want to see her be expanded upon for sure.
You know, I think one of the weaker villains to me is Mick Rory. Heatwave? Is that what they...
Mm-hmm.
That's his name? I don't know. I know that actor is capable of so much more than just being a guy who's like, oh, I like fire. I like to blow things up. Ah, like I don't know. It's just such a one-dimensional character to me. I really like Snart.
Snart is fantastic.
But I think Rory kind of drags him down a little bit.
Mm. Agreed. I think the last time we saw him was in that CW vs. Fight Club thing.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I hope they do more things like that next season. That was really cool.
I'm glad that they announced that the crossover will be a yearly event. Like, it will happen every season as long as both shows are on the air together.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Chicago Fire and PD and that whole Chicagoverse. It's like now you've got these different TV shows that share similar universes or the same universe, and of course you're going to do the big crossover every year. Like,
that's a given.
And if they officially make Supergirl part of the Flaro universe, boom. If CBS and CW... can work out their crap and do a crossover, that is going to be absolutely incredible.
They're both owned by the same parent company, so there's no reason for them not to work their shit out.
And I was just saying earlier that what they could do is say that, you know, Supergirl's part of, like, a different Earth, and then, you know, Barry's traveling to all these different Earths, and he runs into Supergirl.
Well, you had that, what was it, like, Vanity Fair or whatever?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That picture of them doing the, you know, running, flying pose.
I know we won't get a Superman Flash foot race, but come on, let's get a Supergirl Flash foot race episode. Fantastic.
Which one's faster?
Well, scientifically speaking, it's always been the Flash on foot.
Yeah.
But
scientifically.
Well, as scientific as comic books get.
Yeah, true.
I've done the math, and yes, it seems. Okay, so I'm gonna pose a question to you guys.
Okay.
Did The Flash have the best first season of any show in recent memory?
Ooh.
Compared to other shows' first seasons, or just compared to shows in general?
Compared to, like, other shows' first seasons.
Are you talking about, like, just superhero show seasons?
Like,
or
any kind of show. Like, go back to, like, did Walking Dead season one. Go back to, like, Mad Men season one.
I can't. I got to compare apples to apples.
Okay, fair enough.
In terms of a superhero show, yes, I think Flash had one of the strongest first seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it even surpassed Arrow's first season, which
there's
a lot
no
of
argument
people,
for me there. Yeah, yeah. That's a given. That is a proven fact. That is not an opinion, sir.
So, yeah, I think compared to other superhero shows in recent memory, Flash is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, first season.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Probably close second for me is probably going to be Smallville's first season, but, I mean, other than that, I really can't think of anything else that could possibly top the first season of Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, superhero-wise, I can only really think of Arrow, Flash, or S.H.I.E.L.D., and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s first season wasn't really good until, like, the last fourth of the season. So, Flash definitely wins superhero, but if we're going everyone, I really can't say Flash has the best first season, because Chicago PD and Fire have pretty good seasons when they started out.
Yeah.
The reason I brought that up is my friend Steve and I, we are Flash buddies. Like, as soon as the episode's over, we're texting each other like, oh my god, did you see what happened? And after the finale, we were, like, texting, like, mad, just like, I can't believe that! Oh my god, what's gonna happen next? Jake Garrick's helmet! Ah! And he posed that question to me. He's like, I think that The Flash has had the best first season of any show. And I was like, you know, yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to find a close second. Like, I mean, yeah, Smallville's first season way back in the day was really good because it was Superman and it was fun to see, you know, Superman beating a young boy and not being the man we know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even then, Smallville had the weird, like, niche things where it's like, oh, there's the love triangle between Lana and Chloe and this and that, and it's like, eh. But Flash just, I loved every second of The Flash.
Yeah, start to finish, Flash was a roller coaster. It was really good. In fact, I even looked forward to the Flash more than the Arrow this season.
Yep.
Yeah. That is a sentiment shared by quite a few people, because here's the thing. I like my superheroes to be super. Flash felt super. It was effects and speed and, like, everything you want the Flash to be, this show was.
Yeah.
Arrow is, let's face it, this season it was discount Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I want Arrow to be quippy, snarky Arrow. I don't want him to be brooding Batman XP. I want him to be Arrow.
Yeah, right now I think Arrow's strongest season was season 2.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, season 2 was like Flash's season 1. That was, from start to finish, that was a great season 2.
Could you imagine if season 2 of Arrow was on when Flash season 1 was on? Like, I can't fathom, like, my brain wants to melt at the thought of how awesome those nights of TV would be.
Yeah, this one was a little too, Batman light. Like everything, it was just with the whole Ra's al Ghul.
It was the Batman storyline. They just used
it was the Batman without having Gotham, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, we had Gotham, but you know.
I'll tell you what, right now, any DC show that I think is the worst, I think it's Gotham. I got out of that stuff like episode 8, and I was just done. I was like, this is not going anywhere. They're really screwing up Batman. Like, everything. I hated Gotham. I never watched it again. So I don't know if it got better or what, but Flash is definitely the DC show right now.
Yeah, see, I couldn't tell you because I think I stopped after like episode 3 or 4. I was just like, nope, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, that's. And you know what?
Did any one of us watch it? So.
Nope.
I think I kept up until the winter break, and then once it came back, I think I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, Steve said he watched the whole thing. He said he liked it.
Yeah, but he also doesn't like Arrow, so.
He's a complicated individual.
Are we all?
He also hasn't seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
What? Well, he's not missing much. I'm of the camp where I watched season 1, I thought it was okay. I watched season 2, it wasn't getting any better. And then season finale of season 2, I was just like, yeah, I'm done. I don't need to watch anything else of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, I'm going to keep watching
it. Agents.
Well, yeah, you're free to like it, but I don't care. I'm sorry, but it fell under the classic trope of Whedon shows where it's like, oh, look, the guy and the girl, they're going to get together and they're going to be happy and they're going to go on a date and then, oh, something happens and the girl gets swallowed up by liquid stone goo that turns out solid. No, I'm sorry, I'm done. Because I cannot stand that Whedon has a thing against happy endings. I just can't. I need my happy ending.
Yeah. Arrow got a happy ending.
Arrow got a very happy ending, which is surprising. But, yeah. I mean, the producers did say that they're looking to go with a much lighter tone next season, which I think they realized worked so well for them with The Flash that they're like, hey, maybe we should try that on Arrow.
I don't want it to get, like, too light, though, because... I think having Arrow be a little dark and realistic versus The Flash's upbeat, optimistic, like, I mean, I'm not saying that Arrow can't be optimistic and upbeat, but mm-hmm. I want Arrow to have that edge in terms of action and a little bit of grittiness. I don't want it to turn into Flash. I think they have a good balance the way they're at. And you see that when they cross over in their characters. You see that lighthearted and that darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say dark. Like, Arrow's not all doom and gloom. Because I like it because whenever Arrow or Oliver Queen is in Central City, like, his humor plays up a little more when he's interacting with Barry. He loosens up a bit. Mm-hmm. And I like that. That play that those two characters have.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is they talked about, and I talked about this earlier, and I really just want that humor that Ollie has to come through a little more often. Yeah, I'd like to see him be a bit snarky. I'd like to see him, you know...
I like it when he gets snarky when he's in the Arrow costume. Like, he's got that, like, haha. It's like, I don't know, I like it. I liked it when in the pilot of The Flash, and he's like, you know, my suggestion, wear a mask, you know? Yeah. Like,
and then when he's rappelling away and he's just like, that is so cool. And you're just like, it is cool. It's awesome. I'm excited.
Or like when he's training Barry and he shoots him in the back and he's like, why'd you shoot me? He goes, I heard you heal fast. So, okay, so this is a little off-topic from The Flash, but I'm going to ask you guys anyways. Okay, so since Roy Harper left Arrow, what do you think our chances are of him showing up on the Teen Titans live-action TV series on TNT?
Wait, I didn't even know that was, like, happening.
Oh, it's a thing. It's coming out. It's not called Titans anymore. It's called something else. I forget what. Like Blackbirds or something like that.
That's lame.
It is so lame. It should have just been kept Titans. Yeah, it's going to be a live-action type, like Arrow, like Flash, and it's going to be the Teen Titans. And it's going to be on TNT, of all channels.
Yeah.
And
weird.
Hey, they have some good drama, okay?
That's true. They do no drama. We know drama. TNT. That and 24-hour Christmas Story marathons. But anyway, for me right now, it's a coin flip. Like, he could or he might not. Like, I can't speak to, you know... Yeah, time will tell on that one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it happen, because I think it'd be fun. I really enjoy Roy as a character. I'd like to see him come back in some way, shape, or form. Colton Haynes is a really good actor. He had to deal with a lot of, he had to deal with a lot this season on Arrow, and he pulled through, like, amazingly well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I saw that he was leaving, I'm like, okay, so he's leaving. Maybe there's a chance for him to be showing up on the Titans, because, I mean, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
He was a founder of the Teen Titans, so...
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But would that be kind of like Supergirl, different networks, but same universe?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that's something we'll have to wait and see, unfortunately. That's why I hate the wait-and-see game. I really do. Just let me know everything right now. Like, let me know that, yes, you're going to make this in the same universe.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely cannot wait for Legends of Tomorrow. At least we know that's in the same universe.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So how about that Hawk Girl cameo at the very end of the finale of Flash?
You know, they were saying that they added that after they filmed the finale, when they were cutting everything together, and when they filmed the Legends of Tomorrow trailer, they specifically placed her in the crowd scene to do that reaction shot, just so that they could throw that into the Flash finale.
Makes sense. Yeah. One thing I wish that they had done was at least wait to release the Legends of the Tomorrow trailer until after the finale, because when Barry's running into the past, you see all these clips of everything, and one of the clips is Legends of Tomorrow. And I think it would have been really cool just to see that first before we actually saw the trailer.
Mm-hmm. But they wanted to build that hype.
Yep, yeah. And you know, it worked to a T. I've seen that Legends of Tomorrow trailer, like I said, 4 or 5 times now, and every time I watch it, there's something new that I'm realizing, like, oh, this is that, oh, neat. So yeah. I'm very excited. I cannot wait for more.
Alright, so next question for you guys. Favorite Easter egg?
This is going to be a hard one for me, because I don't know DC like the rest of you do.
It's a toss-up for me, really. There's two that I can think of.
Alright, so what are both of them?
I love the Jay Garrick helmet.
Uh-huh.
That is fantastic.
That was a given.
All the references to Green Lantern. The Green Lantern is my favorite superhero. And the references to Ferris Air, the test pilot that went missing... All of it. Like, I need Green Lantern next season. Come on, Berlanti. Come on. Get Jeff Johns to come on and write. I don't care. I need Green Lantern. Like, I need it. I just need it so bad.
Well, if they do an Earth 2, maybe we'll get, like, an Alan Scott Green Lantern.
I would lose my shit. Alan Scott is my second favorite Green Lantern. My favorite, of course, being Guy Gardner. But since we're probably never going to get Guy Gardner on TV, I will happily settle for Alan Scott.
Mine is Kyle Rayner for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I have to agree with Zach. I loved all of the Ferris Air mentions, and because you know that's something I do know from the DC. I mean, I'm not as well versed as you guys, but yeah, I picked up that reference instantly. I'm like, holy crap, they're dropping Green Lantern, and then they started. They dropped Ferris Air first in Flash, and then it started creeping up into Arrow. I'm like, it's happening. We need to get Green Lantern.
I just want it so much. Like, with the effects that they've been doing with the Flash, with the effects that they've been doing on Arrow to a lesser extent, they could do a Green Lantern very easily.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And be way better than that shit movie.
That movie.
That movie.
See, here's the thing about the movie. I'm not mad about the movie. I'm just disappointed.
See, I look at the movie as Deadpool having a dream.
That's probably better, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, with all the references, they just need to bring in Green Lantern next season.
Oh, definitely. Now, my favorite Easter egg was actually a while back. It was episode, I can't remember the episode number, but it was Power Outage, where they had the villain who could take away Barry's speed. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines Harrison Wells makes is that he remembers all the people who have basically died.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the names he mentions is Ralph Dibny. I'm like, oh, well, there goes Elongated Man.
Well, here's the thing. All of the names he mentioned are alter egos of superheroes. Yep. And there's rumors that, like, oh, those names he mentioned, maybe they didn't die. Maybe they're just assumed dead. But, like, you know, B, what's her last name? I want to say Costello, but that's not right.
Bea DaCosta.
Bea DaCosta, thank you. I know it was Cost something. But Bea DaCosta, fire. Like, come on. They could do that with, like, they just turn Firestorm green and you have fire.
The other one was, like, Will Everett, the original Amazing Man, Grant Emerson, who was Damage, Al Rotheson, which was the Atom Smasher. I mean, all
those
people. Yeah, like,
there are so many just, yeah. I that's a great scene, too. I agree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I remember getting excited about Ralph Dibny, too, because I like Elongated Man. I was like, Ralph Dibny, we're going to get Elongated Man. Oh, he's dead. Oh, but maybe he's not, because, you know, timey-wimey. Well,
maybe they thought he died because he just, like, melted, sort of, instead of...
That's very possible.
See, maybe it's like the Martin brothers in the show. Everybody thought they were dead, but then they both show up in different episodes of Powers.
That's true.
True. And another Easter egg was actually in the same episode when a guy attempts to rob Barry outside of the coffee place. There are several posters that can be seen, and one of them is of Blue Devil 2, Hell to Pay.
Oh, wow. I did not even catch that one.
Well, I'm looking at the Flash Wikipedia thing, and it pointed that one out. I was like, oh, shit. So I.
That's a good reference.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut reference, because Blue Devil is one of those heroes that you don't really hear too much about, even in mainstream comics. Like, wow.
I think there was a part where, like, they were coming out of the theaters or something, and it up on the marquee it said, like, Blue Devil something or another. That much I do remember.
That might have been the episode where Barry and Iris go to the movies together when he's trying to balance, like, taking her out and doing superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I was kind of perusing Wikipedia. We really didn't mention this, but I guess this past January, CW announced an animated web series featuring the DC heroine Vixen.
Oh,
debuting on CW Seed in late 2015. It's set in the same universe as Arrow and Flash. Mm-hmm. The character is expected to make a live-action appearance on The Flash and or Arrow as well. And Gustin and Amell will reprise their roles as Barry Allen and Oliver Queen, respectively.
Yeah, that's going to be their sort of introduction to the magic aspect of the universe.
And
is having
turn it into a cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, they started as a cartoon web series, and then, like Eric mentioned, the article said maybe they'll have her come in live action at some point.
Yeah. See, if they want to do a magic aspect, they should have kept Constantine going, because then they could have eventually brought in the whole Dr. Fate helmet.
Yeah, that would have been neat. Dr. Fate is a great character, too. There's so many great characters that I want them to touch on, but it's, like, the odds are long.
I mean, I would love to see Zatanna, but after seeing her on Smallville, she works so much more better in comic book form, because you can actually read what she's saying backwards a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just so many characters I would just love for them to do. I don't even. I mean, obviously, we'll probably never get to see, like, Superman or Batman. but or Wonder Woman for that matter, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping for Green Lantern. I'm hoping for some kind of maybe Aquaman, maybe Cyborg.
Mm. Oh, Cyborg would be cool. I would like to see that Cyborg. In the Flareo universe.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Plastic Man, Elongated Man, either of those would be really cool.
I'm waiting to see how they do Bart Allen, if they do him.
That would be neat. Have, like, a time portal open up, and there's another speedster there, and everyone's just like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Bart from the future. And, like, have him not reveal his name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be a fun thing to have that, you know, whole dynamic of, I can't tell you that I'm your, was it grandson? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, grandson. I can't tell you that I'm your grandson, but, you know, that'd be mm-hmm. neat. There's rumors that, like, Eddie's going to come back and be Cobalt Blue, which would be pretty fun.
Who the heck is that?
Cobalt Blue. So I looked it up because I wasn't sure myself, so I now know.
A new one's left the battle.
Eddie. Sorry, I have to say that. So Eddie Thawne, turns out, is Barry Allen's biological twin brother.
What the F?
And he was adopted by the Thawne family because there was a mix-up at the hospital or something like that. So he gets adopted by the Thawne family. And I forget the exact circumstances, but somehow he also becomes a speedster by the name of Cobalt Blue.
Hmm.
And he's a villain because he was raised by the Thawnes in the comic universe were like petty crooks and they, you know, not a very good family to be raised in.
Mm.
So it would be really interesting to see that take on a character. And maybe, like, you know, Kyle's been saying with the whole alternate worlds thing, maybe we'll see a world where that happens, where it's Cobalt Blue instead of Eddie Thawne, nice guy cop.
Do you think that this other worlds thing that they're going to be doing possibly next season, do you think they'll get too confusing for the general audience that are not nerdy like us?
Yes, I do.
It very well has the possibility of doing that. I have faith in the showrunners to try and untangle it in a way. I mean, they've already kind of laid the groundwork, too, even during the season finale where they were like, you know, alternate timelines.
Well, even earlier in the season with the one I mentioned, they've already played with showing the audience that, like, a different timeline.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think that they can work it in a way where even the layman can understand that, oh, alternate worlds, alternate universes. Yeah. Okay, I get this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with the whole alternate worlds things, we could see Jay Garrick. We could see Jesse Quick. I know they're probably planning on bringing in Wally West next season.
Mm-hmm. There was, again, I saw an article where the producers were talking about how, like, they want to do more speedsters next season. Mm-hmm. Speedsters, plural. So, like, we could see Jesse Quick, we could see Jay Garrick, we could see Cobalt Blue, we could see, you know, any myriad of speedsters from throughout the Flashverse.
Could get Professor Zoom.
That'd be neat. That'd be pretty wild. But I think people might get confused because of Eobard.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll find a way to explain it.
Yeah, they very well could.
I thought it was crazy. I thought I would never hear the term Speed Force in a live-action comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I brought that up, too. Like, I brought back the conversation we had with Dave Fielding during our interview that, like, we never thought we'd live to see a world where Gorilla Grodd is on TV in a live-action format.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was so great to see. He was so menacing and so, like, terrifying that, that's a credible threat. That's not like, a goofy man in a monkey costume. That's like,
and the CGI was so well done for that. Mm-hmm. I thought that could have descended into hokiness rather quickly.
Yeah.
But it was good.
I just thought of a character from DC I'd love to see in the universe.
Okay.
And maybe have his own show. Static Shock.
There were rumors that he was getting his own live-action show a while back, but I don't know what happened to that.
I remember those, and I'd love to see, because I loved the cartoon as a kid, and that's really all I know about him, but Just the whole show was awesome.
Well, if the newest rumors are any indication, there's going to be a Static Shock film, and it's going to be Jaden Smith as Static Shock.
Okay, see, I don't care what the hell DC does with movies. I don't give a damn what they do with that shit.
Damn it.
But Jaden Smith can be Static Shock in the movies. I don't give a shit. But I want a TV Static Shock.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, I could care less about Jaden Smith as Static Shock in the films, but a TV Static Shock would be really nice.
And I would like to see Blue Beetle.
Yeah. Blue Beetle, Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for Static, remember the main villain kind of in the show, the cartoon, was Edwin Alpha. Does anyone remember who voiced Edwin Alpha in the show?
Nah.
Oh, no.
A certain golden monkey friend of ours.
Oh, Kerrigan Mahan.
Yep.
What?
Oh, what?
Kerrigan voiced Edwin Alva in the cartoon.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that cartoon now.
But my thing, this is total me, you know, Uchi's headcanon, probably never going to happen. But get Kerrigan to play live action Edwin Alva.
That would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yep. I mean, I was thinking about this when you said Jaden Smith was a possibility a while back. We were joking about how Will Smith was going to be a Deadshot, and we were like, okay, Will Smith, you can be Deadshot, but keep your son away from DC movies.
Here he is.
Damn it.
Yeah. See, I'm going to stay away from DC movies anyway, so it doesn't matter who's in it.
So, all right, I got a question.
Okay.
Probably, what's the one dream thing that you would love to see next season in the Flash Arrow universe?
My one dream thing would be me guest appearing on the show.
I can't argue with that.
One dream thing. Ooh, this is gonna take me a second here to think about it. Now, does it have to be the Flash, or can it be Flash Arrow?
Legends? Flash Arrow, like that whole shared universe. Okay. What would you like to see?
All right. See,
I already had the Static Shock thing, and that's, I want that to be my answer, but I kind of want to think of something past that.
Well, that's kind of what prompted by, because you were like, you want to see Static Shock. That prompted my...
Ooh, this is going to take me a second here. Damn it, now I got to edit this.
Like I said, I would love Guy Gardner Green Lantern. It's not going to happen, but I would love for it to be Guy Gardner Green Lantern.
See, I would love to see Kyle Rayner Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was obviously, you know, shared name and everything like that. But other than him, I mean.
All right, here's what I want next season. Since Oliver and Felicity are driving off in the sunset, instead of that little sports car, Oliver drives a truck and goes down to the south and helps out southern cities. And instead of a bow and arrow, he uses a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a sword and a gun.
No. Y'all have failed this city.
y'all have failed.
I'm sorry, RJ, but apparently he's a little too busy up in New York helping out some four turtles.
That's true.
I made that joke on Twitter the other day.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm so excited for Stephen Amell that he went from being this, like, up-and-coming no-name actor getting the big role as Arrow. Now he's going to be in Turtles as Casey Jones. Like, good for him. Good for him. He is a fantastic actor.
Yeah, good for him, because that's the only way I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, shit. Did you guys know that Felicity is technically the stepmother to Ronnie Raymond in the comics?
What?
Really?
Yeah. According to this, Felicity married Edward Raymond and became the stepmother to Ronnie Raymond.
Huh.
That changes
Lucy,
everything.
You've got some splaining to do.
So, Zach, you proposed the question. Is there anything you want to see besides Guy Gardner?
Well, let's see. Besides Guy Gardner, I would love to see in the team-up episode Barry and Ollie working together and, like, cracking jokes with each other while they're kicking ass.
Okay.
Make it, you know, fun, but, like, they're taking out just a group of mooks. Like, you know, oh, there's some masked gunmen taking out, you know, Central City Bank. Oh, and then it's those two, like, on their way and, like, you know, just lines like, oh, geez, Arrow, it took you long enough to get here. You know, give us a break. Some of us don't have super speed. Just that kind of banter back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I definitely like to see, but character-wise, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
And done right, not Smallville Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, fair enough. We only saw him in Martian form once.
And that was like during like a web series type thing or something.
No, it was on the main show. He gets kicked into
the main show.
Oh, okay. I remember seeing him turn into the Martian in like a web series that they did a while back. That went with it. It was like a cartoon, though.
Mm.
I know we've got Legends of Tomorrow, but I would love to see all of them come together in one epic team-up that's not Legends of Tomorrow.
Like something that, like a finale where it's like, this is bigger than all of us, we need to team up.
Yeah, and maybe the Arrow finale, maybe have a finale crossover where the Arrow finale and the Flash finale are like one big finale for both seasons.
I'm all for that. I would love if that was our Justice League for CW-verse. I would be perfectly okay with them calling themselves Justice League.
That's the thing. What if Legends of Tomorrow, is that going to be a mid-season?
That's starting off in winter of 2016.
All right, but wouldn't it be cool if, you know, Legends of Tomorrow happens, and you got Arrow, and you got the Flash, and all the finales converge, and then you get your big Justice League thing. That would be cool.
I would be perfectly happy with that cast being the Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean,
maybe not Captain Cold or Heatwave, but, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they found Harrison Wells or Eobard Thawne's secret room, they were reading the newspaper, and it even said Barry Allen,
founding member of
and it got cut off, and
right.
Damn it, Gideon, finish your sentence. Which is even funnier because in the comic prequel, because, you know, they did a comic on the Facebook page where they'd like, oh, here's a preview for tonight's episode. In the comic, Gideon says, founding member of the Justice blank.
Oh.
So, like, Justice League, Justice Society, Justice something. Like, I'm perfectly okay with any of those options.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the possibility for Season 2 with The Flash, because before Eobard died, or, you know, got quantum broken up.
Disintegrated, yeah, that was nuts.
He got shot by the Quantum Defender.
Yes, he did. But he said, you know, what are you going to do without me? So are they going to rely on Gideon a lot more? I'm curious as to, you know, how they're going to continue without Wells.
Who's going to keep the lights on at Star Labs?
Mm-hmm. That's all very, you know, like, there's a lot of talk of, like, it could be maybe Martin Stein steps in. That's the other half of Firestorm.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's him. I'm bad with names.
No, that's fine.
I would like to see him become a recurring character. I really like that actor.
Yeah, Victor Garber is a fantastic actor. There's talk of, since they're going multiple worlds, we could get the real Harrison Wells. There's talk of,
anything to keep Tom Cavanaugh on that show.
I'm with you on that, because he was just, like I said, he nailed it this season.
Yeah.
Oh, agreed. I mean, just in the finale, when he's like, so I'm sorry. Not sorry for killing you. I'm sure I had a pretty good damn reason, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you just said with such a straight face, I'm just like, well, shit.
He is a great actor, and I really hope they utilize him in the next season, you know, in some fashion. More than flashbacks.
Right. But, I mean, back to Eric's question, like, stuff for next season, I mean...
There's so many possibilities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many things I know that the writers and the creators want to do with the show, but obviously you can't stick it all into second season, or it might just seem like it's too jammed full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if, for the first little bit of the season, since Star Labs maybe kind of, you know, can't do anything because Harrison Wells isn't there, they all make their base in Barry's forensic lab, and we get more of Barry's, you know, police force job type thing with the metahumans and all that.
That is the one disappointing thing, the one disappointing aspect about the show. I want to see Barry do his day job for once. Yeah. Like, I want to see if he's this good of a, you know, good of a CSI forensic guy. Forensic guy, where he has basically his own huge lab upstairs of the police department. I want to see him do his real job for once.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
First few episodes of the show of the season, we had him doing some of it, but once they got, you know, more into the reverse Flash storyline, we kind of went away from it.
It did get a little bit ridiculous when, you know, he was helping out the cops, and like that one, and all of a sudden, like, Joe's driving the bad guy's car, and it's like, oh, we got you guys, but I thought that was a little cheesy. Like, okay, we get it, you can help out the cops, but I don't know, I want to go back to Barry doing his forensic thing, and to show how smart he really is, and they never really let that go, but I wanted to see more of his smarts, because...
Yeah.
Because, you know, Eobard was like, oh, what are you going to do without me? Blah, blah. I'm like, well, shit, Barry's pretty damn smart on his own. Like, if he can hold a conversation with Stein so well, I think he's doing pretty good for himself in the brains department.
Yeah. Agreed. Because, I mean, you know, I'm a fan of the Chicago PD verse like you are.
Right.
But, you know, the police stuff, you know, I'm more interested in that type of thing. See how that... You know, the metahumans, police team, all that kind of thing. And then, for a surprise cameo, a metahuman is destroying Chicago. Barry meets Hank Voight.
Because then you've got Law and Order in the DC universe, and I don't know.
I know Grant Gustin posted up on Instagram. He said he wanted to do like a crossover with iZombie.
Ooh.
That would be neat. I mean, technically speaking, iZombie is a DC...
Yeah, it's a Vertigo, right?
Yeah, it's a Vertigo book.
I mean, it's easy. You know, have like a zombie show up in Central City or something like that, and...
Yeah.
A metahuman dies and Liv starts eating the brains of it, and what if she develops the powers?
Super brains?
That'd be neat.
Yeah, I mean...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And Nelson... go ahead.
I forgot her character's name. Rose McIver's... Liv.
Liv, yeah.
Yeah. Liv has to drive a manual car to get to Central City, and she goes, damn it, why won't this thing get in gear?
Oh, wow, that was a slow creep. I was like, I don't get... Oh.
That was such
RJ. Oh,
for those who are still trying to figure that out, it was a Power Rangers reference to Power Rangers RPM.
Which Rose McIver, who is in iZombie, was on, and their call-out phrase to turn into Power Rangers was get in here.
Oh, my jokes are both cheesy and no one understands them.
You're a double threat guy. Pretty sure Eric is still rolling his eyes. They've rolled so hard now they're on the floor.
I'm basically rolling into the next room. It's so bad.
Well, Tom from Talking Toku is in here, so I have to be him.
No, you don't.
There has to be a Tom.
No, no one has.
There does not need to be a Tom.
Oh, man.
But there's so many possibilities that they could do next season. I mean, there was a thing at the end of the Arrow crossover where they were dealing with a metahuman who could shoot the beams out of his eyes.
Deathbolt, yeah, played by Doug Jones, who I've had the pleasure of meeting. Fantastic guy. I'm sad they killed him off. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's
well, they kind of just burnt his eyes a bit. It's fine.
It's fine. They can recover from more than that, I'm sure.
Well, they were saying at the end of the episode that he wasn't in Central City when the particle accelerator went off.
That's true.
But there are other metahumans.
More meta
inhumans out there.
Oh no, not inhumans. This isn't that crap show. You keep your Marvel crap on your side of the line.
Crap?
You heard me.
You see Daredevil?
Wait a minute.
No, I haven't seen Daredevil.
Daredevil was effing amazing, dude.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
I know, I'm a bad, bad person.
You are.
David Fielding himself told me to watch Daredevil, and I still have not watched Daredevil. I feel ashamed.
But you did not do what Zordon told you to?
I know. The power will fail me. Again, references that I'm sure the listeners of this podcast just zoom right over the head.
We have a few listeners that know the Power Ranger stuff, mostly just because of my promotions.
I'm glad you continued that sentence, because it would have been really sad if you just said, we have a few listeners.
Oh, no, we do have a few listeners. We get like 300 views a week, so...
That's good. You don't keep it up. That's, you know, hey, we started out in pretty much the same boat.
No, we didn't. We were like number one since the beginning.
I was trying to make him feel better.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, you will get there.
Zach, I see the numbers.
I know, you see all the numbers because you're on the network with us.
Yes. But
it's, you know what, hey, I'll promote the shit out of this episode. Uh-oh, someone's getting a hailing frequency.
Yeah, sorry, I thought I had my phone muted. Actually, it's Barry Allen calling me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I don't even...
Alright, so...
So, Barry, if you have a kid, you have to name him Alan.
No, I don't.
Alan.
Well, then he would be Alan Barry?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
That's perfect. And then he could be the reverse.
I thought he would just name his kid Straw.
You're an ass.
or Rasputin. Raz. Well, now we've gone off the rails entirely.
I'm gonna name my kid Eobard. Eobard Barry. I'm sure he won't get to school.
I'm gonna stop with the jokes because Eric will keep me from being on Ranger Command again.
I have the power.
Indeed.
All right. So I think we've pretty much talked about almost everything that there is.
We've pretty much gone over Flash and other topics in depth.
Now that we've ruined your show.
Oh, please, this show's been ruined for some time.
This is a crossover that won't happen again.
Oh, trust me, it'll happen again. Like I said, I rebooted the whole series, so...
Yeah, it's true. If it's episode 52, it's what you gotta do.
Yeah. Alright, so final thoughts.
More Flash, more Arrow, more DC TV universe... I'm gonna go get some cake and watch iZombie. That's my plan for the rest of the night.
Nice.
Because I got the DVR recording. I looked over at my TV box and I was like, why is there a red light on? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm iZombie is on right now. That show really picked up. I was on the fence at first, but now I'm really into it.
Oh, I completely agree.
I kind of fell out a bit, but just because of timing, and by the time I got back to Hulu, they had moved past the episode that I missed, so I was like, I'll catch it when it's on Netflix and it's the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it is a really great show. The first four episodes I watched were fantastic. People should definitely watch that.
Agreed. Alright, so, Uchi, any final thoughts?
Like Zach said, Flash, Arrow, keep it coming, keep the TV shows away from the movies. Movies can just, you know, disappear. Get Static Shock and get Kerrigan Mahan to play Edwin Alva. And I'm probably going to go finish watching Star Ninja on Super Sentai, or Shuriken Sentai Ninja. Yeehaw!
And Eric?
Yeah, Flash is amazing if you're not watching it, and whoops, we spoiled everything for you, but I'm very excited for the possibilities of Season 2. I'm really looking forward to what this fall brings, because I don't know how they're going to recover after that finale, so...
It needs, like I said, just put me in cryogenic suspension, wake me up in October. That's when Dino Charge will come back. That's when, all this.
Yeah.
Dino Charge comes back in, August, so wake me up in August.
This fall is going to be amazing. We've got Dino Charge coming back. We've got Flash Season 2, Arrow Season 4, Chicago Fire Season 4, Chicago PD Season 3, and Chicago Med starts.
It's a lot of Chicago.
RJ, you and AP and Eric just need to start the Chicago TV podcast and talk about all those shows.
Can we do that?
I swear, every time it's just
the Chicago Command Power Hour.
See, I've been trying to get Eric to listen to me on making a Lightspeed, SPD, Time Force, and Chicago crossover lost episode.
No, dear.
I'll make the script.
I don't think my brain can handle it.
I think we've had enough of the lost episodes for a while. After all, let's not forget who had to be in drag on that one.
Tom?
Nope.
Oh, I know Dana, but I'm forgetting that one. I'm suppressing that one.
You and me both, brother.
And if anyone has any idea what... If anyone wants to know what the heck we're talking about, go to Ranger Command Power Hours podcast and you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, so where can we find you guys?
You can always find me at AnimeRedneck96 on Twitter, where I tweet, talk to people, and tweet country music lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am the Anime Redneck, and you can always find me UchihaBro77 on YouTube and the Toku Nation forums. If you love Toku, check them out.
Well said.
Yes. You can find me at TrekkieB47 on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on YouTube as well under TrekkieB47. The Power Rangers podcast I'm on is Ranger Command Power Hour at Ranger Command PH on Twitter and Ranger Command Power Hour, all one word, on Instagram. And, of course, RangerCommand.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheCinemaSlob. I'm also on the Ranger Command Power Hour. All those links that he just said, just do that again for me. Visit the page twice.
There you go. And, of course, you can always find me at Deadpool_Ranger, and you can follow us on Twitter at LongboxCast. You can follow us on Instagram at LongboxCast, and you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/LongboxCast. Without further ado, here's our closer, LongboxCast. Too many issues for a short box.
Yeehaw!